Welcome to another episode of AM Blended Families Podcast. I am your host, Armenta McKinney, owner of Armenta McKinney Photography and AM Blended Families. Today, we're going to be discussing unforgiveness in blended families. And also joining me today, I have Erica McGowan, and we'll be discussing her blended family and what she's experienced in the area of unforgiveness. Welcome, Erica.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Now, forgive me. This is my first time getting back into the swing of things after a while. So I'm going to do my best.
It's all good. We'll do it together.
Yes, yes. So to get started, tell me a little bit about yourself and your blended family.
Okay. So let's see. I am a single mother to three boys. I am divorced. So got married very young, 23. You know, it's when you think you in love and you know what you want, everything. Right? You mm-hmm. like, listen, I love him though. And so, you know, my ex-husband and I, we got married. He had two sons. And so I was,
I came into a
blended family. So mm-hmm. I was automatically a stepmother. And so I don't like to use the word step anything, right? So I call them my bonus babies. Those are my bonus mm-hmm. sons. Mm-hmm. And, so they were 3 and 4 okay. when we got married, and then we had two sons of our own.
Okay.
And so after that, we did end up getting a divorce and I ended up having a third son. So my blended family is like legit all around. Okay. Like And I love all my children the same. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. you know, my bonus sons, even though they are now like 22 and 23, and then I have a, Lord Jesus, 14 and a 17-year-old, and then mm-hmm. I have the 8-year-old, and my 8-year-old even has siblings. And so they are very, it's mm-hmm. real. It's for real, real. And so his brothers are amazing. They know they can call me. They can come visit their brother. Mm-hmm. We hang out together. We celebrate together. You know, his oldest, my 8-year-old, his oldest brother plays for Penn State. Shout out to Penn State. Come on now. And when we talk about family, like they still call me, you know, Aunt Erica mm-hmm. and like mm-hmm. it matters.
It does.
Right. And so for us, our blended family is just that. It's like an amalgamation of like all these different families coming together and realizing that it's not about us. It's really about these kids and mm-hmm. making sure that they feel loved exactly. and they feel supported. Mm-hmm. And the more people that do that, the better.
I agree. So we are going over unforgiveness today.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
And this is something big, I think, in most blended families at certain mm-hmm. some stage in going through the separation
yes,
of what
at
was
some point.
And going into what will be. Why was unforgiveness hard?
Well, listen, okay, because we're going to be all the way real, right?
Yes.
So when I got married to my ex-husband, you know, we stayed together about 2 to 3 years before we both realized, like, this might not be for us, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, I was, you know, young and, you know, I consider myself a Christian and I was like, I don't believe in divorce. And mm-hmm. we both said we didn't believe in divorce mm-hmm. and we both didn't want to pass forward those generational curses. Like we both came from either divorced homes or single family homes and we wanted something better for our children. Mm-hmm. And so when that didn't work out for us, it was hard for us to really just be like, what's next? And so out of obligation, out of fear of what other people would say about us, we kind of stayed together. But once we separated, I think the biggest part was realize, like for me, again, at that age and stage was like, well, why don't you want to stay together? Like, what did I do wrong? Or what am I not enough? Mm-hmm. And so we separated and literally probably a month or two later, he found somebody else. Now, mind you, we were still married. Mm-hmm. Technically. Right. And I was like, how are you out in these streets dating? And we're married, right? And
but you're separated though.
But we're separated. Okay. Like mm-hmm. he had moved out. He had gotten his own apartment. But of course, like as you know, it happens a lot. You still coming back home and doing what you do. Mm-hmm. And you're not making those, you know, you're not creating boundaries right. that are clear. Mm-hmm. And so you're still dipping over here and you still going over there and you know, it's like, oh, it's all fun and games until.
Right.
And so for me, it was really hard. And so the bitterness started to creep in, the unforgiveness of like, again, how do you move on with a woman who has a son the same age as ours mm-hmm. and you're saying you don't want to be married and you don't want a family, but you can move on with her and her son. Mm-hmm. Oh, and have a family. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that part was really hard. Mm-hmm. It was hard for me as a young woman to try to wrap my mind around it and not point the finger back at me. Mm-hmm. Like, I took on the whole like responsibility of it. Like, what did I do wrong? What am I not good enough? And, you know, and a lot of women do that. And so, you know, I did a lot of heavy blaming on her. Mm-hmm. Right. Because she was the woman and she should understand my stance and where I was. And we're still married. But honestly, I wasn't really mad at her. Right. Like, her loyalty is not to me.
Right.
He took vows. His loyalty was to me. And so it was misplaced anger. It was misplaced bitterness. And so, you know, I had to work through that. It was a long journey. But and he's married to her now. Hey. and we've grown from it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's taken time and it's taken a lot of, you know, maturity and knowing what we wanted for our sons. But we made it.
And so that's what got you over the hump of, okay, I got to get in a better place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I had to look inward and really start to work on myself and my healing. I had to work on, like, what is my support system? Who are the people that are going to support me and make sure that I was good? And so at the time, I lived in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I decided, like, Tennessee wasn't home for me. I'm originally from Maryland. And so I moved back home to Maryland. My mom, who was a huge supporter, made sure that, like, she jumped right in. And she has always been, for the most part, like, again, another pseudo parent for these boys. And I think that the space, the time and the distance really helped, because there was a lot of drama that went down in the beginning stages. And I had to learn to, like, tune out the noise, because I wanted to make sure that these boys were healthy and they were safe and they saw a mother who was available to them.
Yeah.
Right. Because sometimes when we get so caught up in our own bitterness, our own anger, we forget to focus on what's important, and it's these kids.
Always. And I know for me, when I was going through the earlier stages of my divorce, as amicable as it was, there was a time when I was just angry that things did not shape out the way that I foreseen them, the way I picture my life turning out to be. You know, we were high school sweethearts and this just wasn't how I saw things going down. But for me, it didn't take me as long as I think it takes some people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's just something I knew that this was the right thing to be doing, but that I was at peace. I didn't like how I felt when I wasn't truly at peace with things.
That's
right. I wasn't my best me. I wasn't my best me for my son, and I didn't want him feeling that.
That's right.
And because I knew if I'm like this now, I know he can pick up on it.
Oh, yeah. And they do. They pick up on it easily. They know when their parents have tension. They know when you hate daddy, even if you don't say it verbally.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that I think was a huge influence on my life was my mom. And so I grew up not knowing my dad. I didn't meet him till I was 23. And she never spoke a ill word about him, ever. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of grew up with that, you know, like, well, what happened? And she's like, well, when you're old enough, I'll let you know. And I'm like, okay, 18. Well, when you're old enough, you know, I'm like, well, dang, how old I gotta be, you know? So when I did meet him again, still didn't understand the backstory of it until he sat me down and told me. And I was like, wow. And she never said anything, like, because I would have, like, dragged you through the mud. She never did. And so that was a huge example for me.
Maturity.
And And I knew I wanted to be that kind of woman. And so when I went through my divorce, listen, there were times, y'all, I'm trying to tell you, there were times that I wanted to drag folks. There was times I wanted to bust the windows out. I was going to do the whole Jasmine Sullivan on you, okay? But at the end of the day, that wasn't me, right? And I had to stay true to who I was. And I was like, this is not healthy, right? Because, yes, at the end of the day, I wanted to be healthy for the boys. Or at that time, it was only Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
It was only Jackson. And we were separated. So we did not have Jacob yet. And I knew I wanted to be healthy for Jackson, and I wanted him to see his mommy happy, and I wanted him to see his dad happy, even though I wasn't happy with his dad's choice. But I didn't want him to feel that. That's not a place of a child. Mm-hmm. The child should not feel that much tension. Like, they have enough on their plates.
Right.
And so I didn't want to add that. And so, you know, you fast forward about 2 years, he dated this young lady who's now his wife. And him and I ended up getting pregnant with Jacob. right? Y'all ready for this? It's that tea. Y'all go ahead and get you a drink now because you're going to need it. And
so how did this happen?
Well, you know, me being petty, real talk.
Okay.
Me being petty. Okay. And I wanted to prove a point. Mm-hmm. And the point was, he's still the same person. He going to be the same person with you that he was with me. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he wasn't truthful to me. He wasn't honest. He was a cheater. And that doesn't make him who he is now. Right? Those are just bad choices that we all make at some point. Mm-hmm. And so out of that, I wanted to prove a point. Now, even though I didn't necessarily want to go spreading it to the world, I was like, psh, I already know. And sure enough, yeah, okay. Well, a couple weeks later till, you know, a couple months later, I found out I was pregnant with our second son. And that was devastating for me because, again, that wasn't my true character, right? And so we had to make a choice at that point. And it was hard because he was still dating her and we were still technically married. And we, you know, again, we had to make that grown-up decision that, like, but we know we don't really want to be together, right? And having him tell me clearly that his choice was her and not me, oh, that's heartbreaking, y'all. That'll crush you. Because I was like, I didn't want to be back with him, but I was like, dang, but you going to say it to my face? Like, okay. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we made those decisions and we decided to move forward and we tried to make our divorce is, like you said, amicable as possible. And then I moved back home to Maryland. And so we wanted to, again, make sure that these boys knew that they had parents that loved them and they had a bonus mother that also loved them. Even if I didn't approve of that choice, that's not my place. Mm-hmm. Right. I was like, as long as she's good to my boys and she is there for them, we're going to have to do what we do. Mm-hmm. And again, it just took some time and space. And now when we see each other, it's all good.
Right.
Like, it's all love. And like, I don't hold her to that anymore. I don't even hold my ex-husband to that anymore. It's honestly like, what can we do to make sure these boys are growing up to be the young men that we have always hoped for them to be?
That's what matters. And it's hard sometimes. But I think, again, with that mindset of always putting them first, that everything else will work out.
Right.
Whether it's immediately or 2 months later or 2 years later.
Yeah, but you have to make that decision, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody is not going to come or arrive at the same time, and that's fine. But make that choice. Make the choice and do what you need to do to get there. Even if, listen, fake it till you make it, okay? Because at the end of the day, like, you want your peace, you want your sanity, and you want to be able to pass down a legacy to your children that show that, you know, family can be extended, it can be blended, and we can all get along and we can still love each other, even past the mistakes, even past the grudges, even past whatever. Like, but we're family. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so moving forward, I hear congratulations are in order for you now.
I mean, it might be. Yes. Yes.
So congratulations on your engagement.
Thank you.
And so now you're entering into a new blended family.
Listen, it's my lot in life, clearly. Thank you, Lord. Absolutely. So now it's funny, right? Because in the stage that I was in when I was the wife / ex-wife, right? I thought I was entitled to being mad and bitter, and it was my right. Like, I could justify it, right? And a lot of us would be like, yeah, Erica, you were justified. Absolutely. Like, he did this and he did that. But at the end of the day, we both made choices that weren't the best for us at that time. And we just had to walk it out. And so I can remember not loving, you know, my son's, you know, bonus mom. And I can remember just being just unforgiving towards both of them. And I held it in. And again, I didn't want my children to see that. But on the inside, it hurt. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I can remember being on that giving end of being like, I'm not forgiving them, like, psh, whatever. And now that I am now coming into a family where my fiance, you know, has children and he, you know, he has an ex-wife and, you know, his daughter's mother. And I love both of his children as though they were my own. But now I'm like, ooh, guess who's on the receiving end of that, right? And it's not always, you know, like you said, like candy and roses and peaches and cream. And so I have to learn that, like, as I'm moving in this, I am setting myself up and I'm getting myself ready for the same feelings, the same disappointments, the same bitterness, the same unforgiveness that I gave, you know, quite a few years ago. Like we're talking almost 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I operate in grace. I operate in like staying true to who I am and realizing that it's just going to take that time. It's going to take that, you know, maturity and growth on both of our parts to realize that in the end, it's the kids that matter.
Right. To make sure everything's okay for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I like to talk about, since you're in the beginning stages of this new blended family, let's talk about boundaries.
Oh, yeah. Boundaries. They're important, right? They're important not only on my end, but also on my fiance's end. So, you know, in the beginning, boundaries was like a cuss word, right? Like it wasn't, you know, something that he was like, what? I got this. And I was like, okay, all right. You got something, but this ain't it. I love you, babe. And so he's sitting over here. He just got up, y'all. Y'all see that? He just rolled out. Okay. But I said we was going to be real today. Yes. And so, And it's okay, because what it did was just it helped us establish like what that looked like. You know, I tried to kind of show him in love, right? Like, hey, these are some areas that we, you know, I say we, but I really meant he, we could grow in. Like, you got to learn how to like talk to your man. You can't be like, and you was, no, I was like, and we could just establish some ways.
Those we words make a big difference. It makes a difference in someone receiving the information.
The information, because, you know, when we operate in a fence, we can't hear a thing.
Right, exactly.
Right. And so I was like, I need him to be able to hear me. And so I don't want to point the finger and make him feel like he's not doing anything right. And I did make that mistake in the beginning, right? And so there were times where I was like, I'm over it. But that was, again, like my quick, snappy, like response. And all it did was shut him down even more. And so the boundaries was something that we had to learn together. And me, again, just kind of gently nudging him to create boundaries that were helpful so that nobody was confused with their role. Nobody misunderstood their place, and not their place in a bad way, like their place as in, because honestly, all of us together, we're just trying to raise these kids.
Right.
But as far as in each other's lives, like this is, you know, my future wife, you are my daughter's mother, you are my son's mother. And this is what we're going to do together to cohesively make sure that, again, our children are feeling the love from everyone. There shouldn't be anything that's being kind of spewed out to them, because again, it's just not their place.
And so how would you, with the whole idea of boundaries, how do you bring boundaries into how you all deal with each other's children? Like, have you started discussing that yet? Or
so I think one of the first things that we did, and it was hard in the beginning, right? And so because when you're in that beginning stage and you're all lovey-dovey and you're like, I love him, and he's like, I love her, and I mean, hello, who wouldn't? But it is one of those things where it's hard to talk to the other person about their kids, right? Because again, we all love our kids, so we get offended. It's like, what you mean my son's what, right? What you mean my daughter, right? And so one of the things we had to learn was we like plan times that we can sit down and talk to each other. So he would like text me or call me and be like, hey, I need to talk to you about the boys. And I'd be like, okay, I'm open for it. So like, let's do it. And he would explain to me his concerns or his thoughts, and then we would make an action plan. Like, what are we going to do next? We're going to sit down and talk to the boys. Okay, cool. Well, I'll let you talk to them first. Then we're going to come in as a family and we're going to do it together. So even though we weren't engaged at the time, he made it very clear to them that that was his intention and that he wasn't going anywhere, right? Because again, that stability makes a difference. I have older kids. And so they're not at the stage anymore where they're like, oh, yay, this is fun. They're more at the stage of like,
they're protecting their mother.
Oh, they're protecting their mom, hands down. And they've seen their mom be distraught or brokenhearted before. And so now, mind you, it's only been like once, but that was enough for them. And so what we do now is we sit our kids down and we talk to them together. We have my kids are very comfortable with having those family talks, and we schedule them at least once a month. And so that's our way of creating boundaries and then just setting up those expectations so that they know now that we're coming together, these are the things that we're going to expect from you guys.
I love it.
And we give them the opportunity to speak too. Like, I don't believe in talking at kids. I believe in giving them that platform and the opportunity to share their concerns as well, because it matters.
It does. It's they know that validates. They're being hurt as well.
That's right. And I tell them, you know, I don't care how raw or real it is. Just give it to me. Mm-hmm. Give it to me and let me know, because I want you to know that you can express yourself. Mm-hmm. Your feelings, your ideas, your concerns, they all matter. And whether we agree with them or not, we're going to handle them together.
Amen. Okay, so because you've been blended before, what would you do differently now in this process that maybe you did the first time around?
Right. I guess it's hard to say, right? So the first time around, like, it was a lot younger, and you know, my bonus babies, they were really young. So that, again, it was easier for them to kind of just gravitate towards me, and it was easy. Mm-hmm. And then also, my ex-husband's high school sweetheart, they were just that. They were co-parenting. So that part was easy. But when you start talking about, like, fresh separations. And so again, like, so on my end of things, I've been divorced about 15 years, mm-hmm. right? And so when we start to talk about, like, Derek's blended family and, like, what he brings to the table, we're talking about only a span of a year mm-hmm. of a separation. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of outside forces that are going to think that, oh, it's too soon. And how come, you know, you didn't wait longer? And, you know, what does this look like? And so what we've, you know, decided to do together as a couple is to tune that noise out.
You have to.
Right. We're tuning that noise out because we know that our intentions were always pure. We know, you know, how we have handled and approached things. Mm-hmm. And, again, trying to keep the kids out of it and just making sure that they know that they are our first priority, right? Like, we love each other, and, you know, at the end of the day, it's God, us, and our kids. But just making sure that they feel secure. Because, again, in the beginning, like, when I, you know, was coming into a blended family, it was easy. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about, like, kids who are 5 all the way up to 18. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of dynamics. And we're talking all boys and one girl. So there's just a lot of things that we have to try to pull together as a puzzle piece. And we're learning, mm-hmm. right? We ain't got all the answers, but we're trying.
What would you think would be you and Derek's main focus in your blended family?
Unity, right? Like, I want everyone to be able to come together and feel like they're part. Like, I would love for all of us, like, when at the end of the day, when I think about, like, my family, right, it's me and my mom. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, you know, I have, like, my dad has passed away. And then, you know, that side of the family is, like, kind of estranged. And my mom has brothers, but we don't really talk to. So, you know, like, my core family is my mom, myself, and my boys. And so now that Derek and I have kind of come together and blended our families, just making sure that, like, everybody feels included, because there's so many bonus kids, right? And there's nothing wrong with that. I love it. I love a good big family. I've always wanted to be from a big family. So I'm like, the more the merrier. And we don't leave anybody out. So obviously it's my 3 boys and then his 2. Mm-hmm. But then our children have siblings.
Right.
And so making sure that they understand that they're also welcome, mm-hmm. right? We're not leaving you out just because we're not with your mom anymore. We're not with your dad anymore. Like, you are absolutely still part. I'm not cutting you out of my life just because it didn't work out with your mom or it didn't work out with your dad. So I think just that unification and making sure that we have Thanksgiving dinner, everybody come over. Let's do it. Like, bring your brother, bring your sisters, bring your mom. Like, that is my goal, my hope, and my prayer, honestly.
You'll get there.
Yes.
My favorite question to ask everyone, which is always a... It's always funny to see everybody's reaction to this question.
Okay.
But it's a popular one. If you knew then, but you know now, how would you fill that in?
If I knew then what I knew now, I would tap into my resources more and definitely utilize therapy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so when I got married the first time, again, we were 23, 24, and just in love. And if I'm being really honest, like, I knew it's something about the way a man looks at a woman that he loves, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that he cares for her and protects her. And my ex-husband and I, we got married out of, I won't say necessity, but out of like, oh yeah, this works. We're really good friends. We laugh together. We hang out. And she's, you know, she's good to my kids and whatever. And so it was more of like a, yeah, it fits. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like, again, really like, oh my gosh, over the top. And so, yeah, if I knew then, like, we would have definitely went through premarital counseling, and we didn't. And so we waited until after we got married and started to see the problems creep up and arise and seeing all the dynamics and what we needed help with. We did premarital counseling after we got married. And I was like, dang, I should have done this a lot sooner, right? And so Derek and I are making sure, like, now that we're engaged, we are going through premarital counseling. And not only that, like, I see my own therapist on the side, mm-hmm. right? Because, listen, for me, I can never get enough. More the merrier. And it, I just, you know, I really would wish I would have tapped into my resources, listened to the wisdom of those around me. Because, you know, when you're 23, you think you know it all.
And the wisdom of those who actually want good for you. Who
are
not speaking ill into
your ear.
Not the
naysayers, right, but like the ones that are like, listen, let me give you this good. Let me give you this wisdom. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like with your podcast, I love that your vision, because, you know, my prayer is that the people that listen to this, that somebody is getting, you know, delivered from something, or they a light goes off and they're like, wow, like if they could get through it, I can too. Mm-hmm. Right. There's mm-hmm. hope. Mm-hmm. And you always want to provide people with that hope. And so definitely, like, I don't discount my experience or my journey, and I don't take it for granted, and mm-hmm. I wouldn't change it. Mm-hmm.
Because it made you who you are.
It makes, yeah, absolutely. It made me who I am. And it allows me, it gives me like that tool, right? That tool that I can now pass forward to somebody else and mm-hmm. say, girl, listen, mm-hmm. we got this. You can make it through. It may not be easy right now, but let's pull it together and figure out how to make the best of it.
And you use the best word, I think, is the purpose of the show. It's hope.
Yeah.
It's to let somebody know that it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And you're not alone.
And you definitely aren't alone. We've all, I won't say we've all, but those of us in this situation, we've been there. We've right. been there, done that, and it will get better.
It will.
It will. Well, thank you, Erica.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on. And I actually look forward to having you on again, because I want to follow you all on this blended family
journey. Oh, I can't wait. Yes. Absolutely. So it's going to be a testimony. Okay. I'm claiming it right now. It's going to be a testimony. It is going to bless others. It is definitely going to be one of those things like, y'all came from what? That's right. If we can, you can too.
Amen. Thank you.